I really think about it and talk with my kids, what they really need right now is some downtime to play and be creative and expand those interests so that they can have time to be recentered and focused on other things that maybe the school is asking them to do or that we want to create in our life.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hello, 18 Summers Tribe. We have a treat for you today. We're here with Robin, and she is with Honey, I'm Homeschooling the Kids. She's got a great, amazing podcast full of resources. She's been an incredible friend for, I would say 10 years, but I don't think it's been quite 10 years.
Let's just say 10 years.
It's a lifetime, maybe many lifetimes. But Robin's a wonderful person to connect with, to love with, to live with, to do life with, and your children would greatly benefit from you listening to and following along with Robin and her family's adventures in homeschooling. They've been a homeschooling family for about 9 years. She, like I mentioned, has that incredible podcast, and we're glad she's here today to share some of her wisdom that she shares with her homeschool consulting clients. Welcome, Robin.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here with you, Jamie.
Where are you exactly located? Tell our listeners what region you're in.
So I'm in Northern Alberta, Canada. I guess I would probably the city that some may know is Edmonton, and I'm about 6 hours north of Edmonton, 6 hours drive north of Edmonton, in a place called, it's close to the Peace River Valley, close to the Peace River, outside of Fairview, close to Dunvegan. Those are all very tiny places. So I think only if you've been here, you might know them, but that's where we are. We're on a farm.
Yeah, pretty wild open country, huh?
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Yeah, I'm sure it's beautiful to visit. We've come up close to there, I remember, but nothing exact. Now, you and your family travel a good bit. Mm-hmm. Was it Jamaica that you spent a long period of time in world schooling the children?
Yeah, when we decided to start world schooling and homeschooling, we did move to Jamaica for a little over half a year. My dad is from Jamaica and he still lives there. So that was our first choice to go. After that, we spent a little over a year in South Korea, and then we came back to Canada. And since then, we take different shorter vacations or shorter travel periods each year, whether it's locally or internationally. But even before we were living in Canada, we were living all over the world. Our son, our oldest, was actually born in South Korea. And so he spent the first 2 years of his life there before we moved back to Canada.
Wow. And so you've been world schooling since the beginning of their life, right?
Yeah, really, we have been. Yeah.
That's amazing. And now, what does world schooling mean to you? People ask all the time. We use the term road schooling, but also world schooling. But so what does that, besides living in different places, what do you try to incorporate when you're living and visiting these other places?
I think for us is being very present, enjoying the experience and surroundings around you. I like the term road schooling as well, because world schooling or road schooling, it's kind of taking learning on the road away from where you're living most of your time at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important because it puts you out of your comfort zone. It puts you out of maybe your routine or what you're accustomed or used to all the time. And I think it really extends your vision or perspective, which I feel is really important in the world today and any time, and especially for our kids. So, you know, we really incorporate travel into learning, and we feel that it's a great way to really experience and live learning and see different viewpoints, see different ecology, see different ways of living, taste different food, all of that that's incorporated into it.
Do you think that type of world education where your children are aware that it's not just them and the way that they see the world, do you feel that's important to cultivating compassion and our children and just that larger view that it's not really just about them?
Yeah, it's absolutely important. I think, you know, sometimes people can be compassionate without leaving a lot of space, but at the same time, not everyone can be. And I think it really gives you a different perspective and realization when you, in a way, have to put yourself in someone else's shoes. I think that what it is when you go somewhere that's very different to what you're used to, seeing that there's so many differences but underneath, we're all the same, really. So even though we may be somewhere where the language is different, where the food tastes very different, where just the way of life is very different, at the core, we're not any different. And so I think that compassion that extends, seeing our strong similarities and the sameness, is really important in building that compassion. So yeah, it gives us that perspective and viewpoint and living it, that lived experience that we might not have if we weren't in that place.
Yeah, absolutely. And it gives us the opportunity maybe to see what it feels like to be a minority somewhere, or to not know a language somewhere, to be, you know, an alien to a land, or, you know, and just that feeling that so often some of the topics that are discussed here in the States that are, you know, just so intense right now socially, our children may better understand if they've experienced that in such, I mean, even though it's such a small amount compared to someone who lives that daily. But what are some other ways that you, with you being a family of mixed backgrounds and mixed cultures, how do you cultivate, even if you're not on the road, some of that diversity education, some of that understanding and compassion for people that may look different, even though we're all the same on the inside?
I think that's a good question. You know, I think in ways of, we really try to, you know, conversation is big. And I think also part of the conversation is, you know, when something happens, an event happens, or talking about it, and in that conversation, reflecting on, you know, how would you feel? Things were different. What would do you think would be better? How would you like to change things? You know, I think that is really important, as well as exploring our world and learning too. So, you know, I think we can have a better understanding as well in things like the books we read, what we immerse ourselves in, whether it's in within our own home, what we expand our learning on, things like that are also important ways that we do that. You know, for us, I think it's also a little bit different because we are a mixed family. Mm-hmm. So our living in our, you know, in that way with just our direct family, my kids experience that a little bit more. So, you know, like my dad, for example, is from Jamaica. So for them, you know, when we moved to Jamaica, that was also an important part for me because I wanted them to have that experience of they visited Jamaica, but living there is very different. And I wanted them to really understand and experience that. You know, so for us, it's also about connection to family. And for our family, that means being connected to very many different people and different ideas. So my husband's family is from Northern Alberta and they're farmers. So that's a very different experience than my mom, who is her background, her family. You know, she's born in Canada, but her family had immigrated from Hungary. And, you know, there's still a lot of, you know, my grandparents spoke Hungarian. My grandma always, the food she cooked was always Hungarian. So for my mom, a lot of the recipes she creates are from that. And, you know, still talking about that. And, you know, my mom has Hungarian friends who come when we visit and share food and, you know, things and experiences like that as well, we still find are very important for them to understand their background and perspective as well. So that's how also how we personally incorporate it. But I think even if you're not from a mixed background like we are, you can still extend your community to be part of that learning and living.
That's wonderful. You know, Jim's very Irish, like his family's very Irish proud. Grandfather immigrated here. And then I have a Native American background that I hold closest to, but then, you know, some other thing, German and, you know, mixed things. I like the history. I don't want to say I like all of it. Of course, we embrace all of it, but I feel like I identify, you know, sometimes you have to try them all on and say, well, this is what I most identify with. This feels good. And so like you're saying, just introducing all of those different pieces of your family and your history. And it does take time, right? That's part of homeschooling that sometimes parents don't embrace as much as the amount of time that it may take to be thoughtful. Like you said, you have to be mindful and, okay, so we are a blended family. We want to pull from this. We want to pull from this. We want to make sure that there's space at the table for everybody's history, yeah, right? And that we can embrace all of them and then really identify to where we feel like we feel that, but that we're aware of each of those pieces of ourselves and in the world. And so How do you prepare for that mindfulness or that awareness? Because so many people that we speak with say, oh, I'm just not naturally, whatever it happens to be. I'm not naturally creative like that, or I'm not naturally cultural like that. Or how do you guide your families into cultivating that mindfulness of seeing it, you know, and bringing those pieces into your life?
So how do we kind of exercise it, or how do I personally live it? Or?
Like, so how do you guide others? Because it's a natural thing for you, the same way that it may be a natural thing for Gemini to say, oh, we need to make sure that there's space at everyone for the table, that we have musicians, homeless folks, black, white, you know, like it doesn't matter, but that everybody's at the table and all of our histories are represented and we're learning from everybody. Sometimes that takes a minute, because as you and I are talking, I'm thinking, gosh, I've really not like cooked a meal in a little while because we've been on the road, and gosh, I'm like completely Americanizing, you know, and dulling down these things that I could be making stronger. I need to, as we're talking, I'm thinking of the ways in which I need to become more mindful with what I'm creating in our home. How do you encourage the mindfulness of creating these experiences?
I think it's also personal as well. Part of it, to be honest, is for me, it's an everyday lived experience. I think it's always been something that has been important to me, and my parents cultivated it. So I think because my parents cultivated it, I still carry that with me. So in the way that I personally am a person of color, my dad's black, my mom's white. So I think in that way, because of my experiences as well, it's something that's held important to me. But my parents also had traveled too. And from being from different countries and cultures, it's something that they had personally cultivated and found important. So I think that is a big reason why I still carry that with my kids today as well. So I think that's a personal thing too. But at the same time, I think there's just sometimes where you do have to make the space for it. If it's something that you find is important, and I think now is an interesting time because of what is happening, you know, with George Floyd. And I mean, that's not the first time it's happened, but it's really, you know, it's really erupted and come to the forefront now. And because it's more in everyone's face now with social media. So I think it's become a topic that now maybe was here and it's jumped up to hear. So I think there's a lot more conversations around it now. And I mean, honestly, that's the way life goes. Sometimes things have to be in our immediate vicinity, in front of our face, for us to sometimes say, wait a minute, I've neglected this part. Or, you know what, I haven't put very much attention to it. Or, you know, I've never even thought about this. But now that it's here, okay, now I'm thinking about it, and now I'm going to incorporate into my life, or I'm just going to think about it more and think how I can do things differently, or how we can incorporate into our family, or how I can just have a, you know, a different way of thinking, or not, depending on what a person wants to do or chooses to do in that way. But so I think those definitely play a big factor in all of it as well.
Now, with the families, like I said, you've been homeschooling before the rest of the world had it as an option on the checklist of education. You know, now in the U.S., it's like, oh, here's your buffet of education choices. And it's no longer the odd man out. You've been doing it since before it was cool. And how are you guiding parents that maybe would not have chosen otherwise? Like, what are some really strong tips that you're guiding parents with that are just now kind of falling into, maybe not choosing it, you know, just like the same parents that don't know to look for the cultural things to incorporate, or the parents that don't know how to bring the math in, all of these pieces, how do you, these total newbie novice homeschoolers that want to do more with their children, more for their children, or maybe don't even have an option, how are you encouraging them, and in what ways are you empowering them?
Well, first, I want to say it's great to hear that more in the U.S. are having that option, because that's not the same with everywhere. I know some places in Canada where parents always have the option, but at the same time, the schools aren't really providing as much of an option. So it's good to hear there are more places that are. And for parents that are new and exploring it, or feel that it's the most viable way for them to educate their kids right now, I think the biggest thing is, especially with our time period right now, I know parents, we always feel that we want to do everything perfectly. We want to do above and beyond for our kids, because we want our kids to, you know, have the opportunities to be successful, to maybe have what we didn't have. And we don't want to feel as a parent that we're falling short in providing for them. So I think what happens many times with homeschooling is we take a lot of that anxiety and fear on. So my first piece of advice is just kind of to take a breath and take a moment and know that it's actually going to be okay. It really is going to be okay. We could have the superpower of adding an extra 15 hours to our day and trying to pack everything in, and it still wouldn't be a long enough day to do everything. So, you know, sometimes you have to choose those things that are important to you and what you feel are valuable and how you're best going to incorporate them. But I think before that as well is to really take the time when you take that breath and then reflect on what really is important to you. And I know sometimes in professional life or in personal development, that's something that is asked, but it's still important in learning and education, because when you get clear on your purpose for learning, your purpose for building that learning environment with your kids, for your kids, and for your family, then all of those other decisions, like if you want to purchase certain curriculum, how you want to set up your home, those activities and things that you want to do, those become easier to choose and to make happen when you know what your purpose is in learning. For some reason in your head, you think your child has to be a doctor and has to go to a certain school. You know, maybe in your mind, that's kind of putting you towards these certain areas or curriculum. But at the same time, if you think, well, maybe my purpose deep down is I want them to be able to provide for themselves really well. And that's just how I see that to happen, because that didn't happen for me. Or right now, if I really think about it and talk with my kids, what they really need right now is some downtime to play and be creative and expand those interests so that they can have time to kind of be recentered and focused on other things that maybe the school is asking them to do or that we want to create in our life. So I really think that getting clear on your purpose and being in good communication are the two biggest things in building that homeschool foundation. So that's usually my advice. And doing that is things like getting a journal and writing it out, reflecting on that, asking yourself certain questions, and speaking with your family, talking with your kids about what they've seen and what they've been doing and where they feel that they've been winning, where they feel maybe they need support, and what they would like to do in the future. So, you know, I think that all incorporates again to, you know, getting a good understanding of your purpose individually, but as a family as well.
We always call, and like you said, personal development stuff, those big rocks, like you said, think of the things that you really want to teach and make sure that those are there. And then you kind of fill in the rest, right? And so making sure that those big rocks get placed first before the sand, before the water, before the pebbles, and just making sure those things that are must reach levels, whether it's the academics of the school is actually sending, or if it's, you know, I want to make sure we travel to these national parks this year. Whatever it happens to be your biggest rocks, what's most important to you, or what you said, your purpose, just making sure that those are in place before all the crap of the day and drama or whatever happens to come in. At least you know that, okay, well, we did the big things that really mattered to us. So yeah. I think that's a great way of calling it.
That's a great analogy, because those rocks, if we don't make the space for them beforehand, all the sand and other parts will fill up that cup or that jar or whatever you want to call it. And then those foundational rocks, there won't be any space for them when really they're the most important part for us. So I think that is a great, great metaphor for it.
And like you said, those big rocks are going to be different based on your purpose. So my big rocks they're probably similar to yours because we have similar core values, but I know with each family, those big rocks will be something different. Some people, you know, like you said, if they're destined, they want their child to be a doctor, it's going to be sciences and maybe writing papers. And, you know, for me, it's going to be learning to backflip off. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's going to be different things.
And I do want to point out that it also, we're quick to go to maybe the academic or something like, I want my child to be something or do this in life. But many times it actually goes deeper than that. You know, I think we're very conditioned to think that learning is about school and school is about getting to the certain job or place, when really it's not the same thing. Education, learning, and school are actually three different things. And sure, they can be incorporated together, but they actually can stand on their own. They can be very different as well. And when we are talking about those big rocks, many times it comes down to those more personal things of, my child has not been themselves for the past 4 years, and they really need that love and connection. And right now, that's what we want to really incorporate into our family and build. And that might take, you know, we need to put extra time to go on walks outside together so that we can talk. And we want to give them space. Maybe we see that they're an artist and so much comes out in what they do, and give them space to do that so that they can express themselves, so we can build that communication and connection, so that we can also honor what they love to do, so their self-confidence builds, so then that communication and connection builds. So as much as sometimes we say, yeah, I want my child to go to Harvard, or I want my child to make tons of money and then they'll be successful, sure, but at the same time, you know, there's a deeper underlying level to that. Those things can happen, but if they have those bigger rocks, that foundation and purpose clear on those things, then no matter what they do, they can reach those other values as well.
I love that. Thank you. That is a difference of homeschool education that you don't get in a traditional school setting, is that purpose, right? Those big rocks of purpose. How do you get a partner or your family support system? How do you align a purpose like that? You know, I'm sure that's something you may hear also from some families, like, wow, I feel like my son could use this year to homeschool to really get into himself. You know, some children have a hard time. Maybe they're great at academics, but they're not very physically, like you were saying, it's all different things. And so maybe your child needs a year of just coming into themselves, of learning how to ride a bike or how to skip or whatever those things may be. How do you communicate to your support system an idea like that, like a purpose with your homeschool education? How do you get everybody on board with what that vision may be?
That's a good question. I would love to do this, but my spouse is not supportive. They want them to go to school. They want them to do this. You know, I think, again, that's a conversation that begins with you and your partner, and it's really important to happen. And there's a few things that you can do. You know, sometimes it is also about connecting with your partner and maybe also taking the time, instead of saying, nope, I'm going to do this. I don't care what you say. I see this is important and you obviously don't, and we're going to continue doing it, whatever. We don't care what happens. But maybe it's also important to take the time with your partner and hear them. You know, maybe they have their own fears that they have or are experiencing, and something like maybe school has been a regular steadfast for them, that's their connection to, well, no, I feel that they need, maybe has provided safety for them in some way, and therefore that's why they feel it's still a strong foundation for their children. So I don't think it's always necessarily about they just don't want to agree with you or something else, but sometimes it's a deeper fear for them that, you know, it's really important to them. And sometimes that has to be compromise. You know, you maybe do see that homeschooling and doing it a certain way might be the best for you right now, and your spouse is on the other end, but for the family to connect, sometimes you just might have to meet in the middle. And because there are more options now, it might be your child goes to school 3 days a week and they can be home 2 days. Or maybe you try it out for a year and keep reevaluating and see what happens. Or, you know, maybe they do something for a day and then the other 4 days they're in something more traditional. You know, there are options and choices, but it's something as well that strong communication is important to keep regularly doing, and hearing each other too. You know, that's the thing. They need to be heard, and then you also need to be heard. How can you create ways that you can communicate so you're both heard and validated as well, so you can move on together?
And as you said, to reevaluate, because nothing has to be forever, right? It doesn't have to be one way or the other, all or none. You can continually reevaluate. That's something Jim and I mention a lot, is revise, revise, revise. You're there to get something right on the first time would be a miracle, but to keep going and keep trying and make it work and steer it and navigate it toward better and better, and, you know, until it feels right. And whether that means, you know, oh, okay, so this worked, but this didn't work. You keep the good pieces and get rid of the rest. Another thing that we see happen a lot, maybe you see this too, someone will try something for a week or two and then they're like, oh, well, that didn't work. You kind of have to give it a little bit more time than that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do. You know, it's okay to try. And then if it doesn't work, say, you know, I tried and I can move on to something else for sure. But yeah, sometimes you need to, like, even building a business, right? It's not going to happen in the first month. Sometimes it doesn't happen in the first year or two, right? It takes time to build and put the effort into. But again, I think coming back to your purpose and those values are important, because, you know, maybe we're trying something and it's really not working because it's completely not at all what we, you know, what really is us or what we need to do or what really is at our core. And as much as we put into it, it's not happening because there's not that connection. So giving yourself grace, trying, but also recognizing that, you know, I think it's different for everybody. You get to a point where you feel that I tried enough and I feel that I put good effort into it, but maybe this is not happening for us. So Let's look at something different or how we can adjust. Again, it's like what you said, reevaluating, continuously reevaluating and looking at things and saying, you know what, is this going well? This part is, but this part hasn't. But maybe if we try adjusting this, like maybe we're working on this, but maybe if we do this earlier in the day, it might be better. Or maybe let's take this outside.
So a lot of times it's not about changing it up constantly, like, oh, this didn't work, get rid of it. It's about, here's what did work. Yeah, we can tweak it a little bit and find a better way or a new environment. Because it doesn't have to be all or none. As long as, like you said, it's centered around that purpose and core value, you can maneuver the ship around the other things.
And I think that's also important when you're planning your year as well for homeschooling. Here where we live in Alberta, by the requirement for homeschoolers, you register with the government and you have to give them a home education plan for the year. The beauty of it, which is really nice, is that they say that home ed plan can be fluid. You're not stuck to it for the year. You can change it. You can take things out. It's just kind of a guideline to help you go through the year. I know when we create our home ed plan, we take, you know, usually it actually takes us a bit of time because, you know, in the spring we'll say, okay, let's look at our year. What was really good? You know, I'll say to my daughter, what did you really like about this year? What do you think went really well? And she'll say, I really feel that we did this, or I had fun, you know, learning this, or I created this. It was really good. And then you'll say, okay, well, what didn't work this year? What do you think that we should, you know, wasn't great, we didn't do well at, or just didn't fit well? And, you know, we'll make a list of that and talk about that. And then, so now going forward for this year, what would you like to carry forward? What do you think that we don't need anymore? And what maybe is something new that now that we've done those things that you would like to try or change? That might be new or might just be a shift in it. That's usually how we plan for a year. But again, it's going back to the reflecting. Does it need to completely change? Many times it doesn't. Many times it is just a small shift or a change in something that we can do and try.
And incorporating your children's opinion, that's huge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Robin, tell us, 75-year-old Robin, much, much older, still stunning, I'm sure. What would older Robin tell younger Robin and the world about this opportunity, what I consider an opportunity before us, to have this shift in our education mindset?
You know, that's such a good question. The opportunity to shift in our education mindset. You know, I have to say it's something that I was hoping for, you know, for a while. I did not think that it was going to happen so soon. Many times I say we usually get what we want, but we don't always get it in the way we think we're going to get it.
So. I tell you all the time, be careful what you say.
Yeah. So I think really the 75-year-old self, because I think of my parents who just turned 76 this summer. They both did. And how they are. Actually, just before you and I got on this call, I actually talked to my dad in Jamaica. And, you know, obviously age has slowed them down, but at the same time, I really notice it now, how much more calmer, but also present that they are, and how much more they really take the time to make sure that they are present and connected. So I think as much as this is a very excited time and, you know, there's so much happening and there's so much change happening, which I think is fantastic because I think, you know, shifts happen where they're needed to happen. And sometimes there is that extra push. It's still important to really be present and connected with ourselves and then going out into the world that will reflect with the world. So when it comes to education, I think sometimes we might even have to slow down a little bit to make sure that the areas that are changing for the right reasons and they're changing in the right way. The biggest thing with education, though, I find that is left out many times is the core purpose for school is that it's about our kids and the students. And so many times that gets missed. I know I'm actually a public representative for my community, for the public school board as well. You know, with my podcast, I get a chance to connect with homeschoolers all over the world on a daily basis, whether it's emails and contact and interviews. So many times I think it's natural human tendency to get anxious or think about ourselves, we forget that when it comes to that part of learning, whether it's school, education, learning, when it's about our kids, it's really about our kids. So when I say slow down, it's also give them a voice, give them a chance to have some autonomy in their learning and education as well. So again, that's why I say presence and connection, because I think that's, again, what it comes down to is to take that breath. And before we get swept away with the tide and the waves, to kind of recenter ourselves, doggy paddle for a little bit, look around our safety points, our land where we are, you know, navigate ourselves. And then when we find where we really need to go and it's important for us to do and be, then head to that point. So if that makes sense, I'm kind of like,
absolutely. That's great. That was a lot of good ones. That's so perfect. Lots of good wisdom. Orient yourself.
Yeah.
I really like that. Yeah. Orient yourself and be present and in the moment. I think those are really great because if you are doggy paddling and you're panicked about, I'm never going to get to the shore, you're not present going, but the shore is right there. Right. Yeah. So great points. Thank you, Robin. So Robin, where can our listeners find you? How can we further connect?
You can go to my podcast. You can find on any podcast player, whether it's Spotify or iTunes. I know Amazon is going to be coming out and Audible with podcast offerings now too. That will be found on there soon. But any other podcast player, you can go there. My website, you can find it, Honey, I'm Homeschooling the Kids, but it's imhomeschooling.com. So my podcasts and resources are on there as well. And you can find my contact page, Instagram, Facebook, especially on Instagram at Honey, I'm Homeschooling the Kids. And you can email me. You can find my email through there too. I have an email list if you want to subscribe to and get updates and tips and information. But social media is a great way to connect with me as well.
Perfect. Yes. I love listening to your interviews. I always learn, have lots and lots of takeaways of homeschool wisdom.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're all in it together.
We are. We really are in it together.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Great to see you, Jamie.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.